Hi, I'm David Murphy, and I'm talking today with Tony Jamus, who is the CEO and co-founder of Nexmo. Tony, good afternoon to you.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and I hope you are too. So, Tony, Nexmo, can you just give us a sort of 2-minute guide to the company, please? Who you are, what you do, who the people behind the company are, and how long you've been around?
Yes, sure. So, Nexmo, what we do is pretty simple for the customer. We connect their applications to the telcos through the cloud, all through APIs. So we enable them to do two-way messaging, SMS, inbound, outbound, and also voice. All that through very simple to implement APIs with a direct-to-carrier connectivity across the globe. So who's behind the company? We started the company in early 2011. The founding teams come from telcos, either carrier side or aggregator side. Personally, I worked for mBlox in Europe for 4 or 5 years prior to starting Nexmo. And our experience as a telco was very frustrating. We realized that first, the value chain was non-efficient. There was a lot of intermediaries in the chain. And two, it was very complicated to do business with carriers and with aggregators. So we've decided to address these 2 points by streamlining the value chain and making it more simple and more efficient. So from one hand, we build direct-to-carrier connectivity across the globe that creates more redundancy, more efficiency, and more importantly, less cost. And also the distribution. A lot of developers and enterprise were struggling actually to do anything with telco because it was very complicated in terms of protocol and in terms of process. So we've built a very simple API that some customer can connect in as little as 5 minutes. They can go live. And a pay-as-you-go model that is simple to understand and addresses most of these demands in the market.
Okay, so it sounds like on one hand, looking at it one way, you could say you've removed the aggregators from the equation. Another way of looking at it, and this just might be me misunderstanding, is that you're performing a similar role to the aggregators. Is that the case or not?
Yeah, if you want, it's a Uber aggregator or a super aggregator with one hub to any carrier network in the world. So usually in aggregator, traditionally, the market was fragmented regionally, right? So you had an aggregator strong in the UK, one strong in France, one dominating the US market, et cetera, et cetera. So what we've done is we eliminated that regional dependency. So we have a global network today, one hub to any carrier. It is very similar to the airline industry, right? So you had, British Airways strong in connection from the UK to international, US airline strong in the US. But then you had the emergence of companies like Emirates that are strong pretty much everywhere. So we kind of adopting a similar model where we tell our customer that are global in nature that you don't need to compromise, right? So you can access a one hub to any carrier network with just one API connection.
Okay, and then in addition to the global connectivity as opposed to sort of regional strengths that different aggregators have in different parts of the world, would you also argue that your way of doing things is more efficient, more effective? How does it compare to a traditional aggregator service?
Yeah, so first and foremost, every time you remove a hub in the chain, you actually add cost efficiency and also network efficiency. So the latency is lower, the deliverability rate is higher. So that's kind of the back end. But what we also noticed in the last 2.5 years is that having one connection to one carrier in the world is not optimal. So we also build redundancy into the system. Many carriers in the world don't necessarily take the SMS infrastructure too seriously. For them, it is SMS has grown by accident into the network. And so we realized that there's a lot of downtime, not necessarily in terms of the deliverability, but more importantly in terms of latency. For instance, if they have like high load on their SMSC. So what we do is we have multiple binds to each carrier in the world, and actually we, you know, it's our secret sauce to make sure that the message is getting there in a timely fashion to any carrier in the world. So that's kind of the back end stuff. But you also have the front end. So when we started the company, we were the last entrant into the market. So we were able to leverage the cloud technology to build a much more scalable approach to the business. So one is the analytics and the data we provide to our customers. We have customers that require to know in real time, for instance, their conversion ratio, their deliverability ratio. When they start, you know, scaling the application, sending tens of millions of messages every month, you know, the these KPIs becomes very important. So we provide them with real-time visibility on their traffic. And finally, the API. You know, traditionally, you needed to connect to, you know, whatever carrier protocol, and each carrier in the world has a different protocol. And these protocols have not been updated for like 10 years. So we created a level of abstraction across the globe with, you know, very simple REST HTTP API. It is as simple as implementing an email API.
Okay, and I'll come on to talking about your customers, the types of brands that need this sort of messaging sort of capability in a minute. But just one final point: you talk about connecting to every telco in the world. I mean, is how big a job was that? There's lots of them. Is it all been done automatically, or do you need a permission of every, you know, Vodafone, Opco around the world to connect to their network?
Yeah, it is. It is actually the most challenging part of our business that you don't see. It's hidden. You know, we spend 80% of the company resources on connecting carriers at the moment, and in some countries is easy, and other countries is much more difficult. So, what we do is basically we leverage the global signaling network of the world, which is on which the GSM network operates to actually reach any carrier in the world. But again, that's not enough. So you need to add redundancy. You need to add local direct contracts sometimes with many carriers in the world. Today, if you look at the world, there's around 1,000 carrier. We reach pretty much 40% through local direct connectivity contracts. And the rest is through the signaling network.
Okay. And then, just talking about the companies using the service. So who are these companies that need global messaging capabilities? And do you get any sort of visibility into what they're doing within their apps with messaging, how they're using it?
Yes, absolutely. So the we've seen the biggest success is with what I call web-aware companies that are global by nature. So a good example is Airbnb. Airbnb is a marketplace to find to rent rooms or houses between individuals. So every time there's a transaction happening on their website, they create a virtual conversation between the host and the guest using SMS. So we provide them with long virtual number capabilities to receive SMS as well as sending across the globe. And that's very innovative because what we've done is we took regular phone numbers and we virtualize them and we put them in the cloud. And you know, we have over 4 million number today in operations across the globe.
Okay.
So we can actually act as a virtual carrier, if you want, as a virtual switch.
Okay.
Another type of customers are all these OTT app, over the top app. So some of our customers include companies like Viber, like Line, like KakaoTalk in Korea. And what these guys use us for is first is two-factor authentication. So when the user download the app the first time, they send a text message with a password. But also increasingly, they're using us for viral marketing. So when the user download the app, the user has the option to invite his friends by SMS.
Okay, and so I've got a pretty good idea what you're doing and what you've achieved so far. What's sort of next on the roadmap for you guys?
We still have a huge challenge to connect the world directly. So most of the funding we've raised in December from Intel Capital is going to be used to increase our carrier footprint. But also, we've been running virtually with no sales force until late last year. So we want to build a much stronger enterprise sales force across the globe. We have an office in Hong Kong, London, and San Francisco, so we're going to strengthen our footprint there and also do some marketing. We've been growing 20% a month, every month, without spending any dollar on marketing. So maybe it's time to do some more buzz.
Good stuff. Well, it's been really good to talk to you today, Tony. Thank you very much for your time and telling us your story.
Thanks, David.
Good stuff. Bye-bye.